Corporate Identity, McKinsey.
Professor Casey, thank you for agreeing to take part in our online series called Campus Voices.
Certainly, it's my pleasure.
Your special field is branding and corporate identity, and today you have kindly offered to talk about McKinsey.
Yeah. As I'm sure you all know, McKinsey is one of the best-known, if not the best-known, management consultancies in the world. But they are careful to keep a very low public profile, a household name on the one hand and almost a secret sect on the other.
Now, what do you think is responsible for this strange dichotomy?
I would say a carefully constructed corporate identity and reputation management that includes the smallest details, like what kind of socks McKinsey men are expected to wear.
Which is?
Nothing showy. Once you are a McKinsey associate, a certain appearance and conduct is expected of you, professional and discreet. The present CEO and founder of the company wanted to create no less than a new profession and took professions like doctors or lawyers as his model. Although McKinsey is eager to stress diversity and inclusion, it is usually not difficult to spot a McKinsey man.
What would you say are the most important features?
He is the tall, good-looking guy wearing the right kind of socks and a suit. And he was at an elite university. It used to be exclusively Harvard, but now not necessarily. And he wasn't just an ordinary student, but captain of a sports team or leader of the debating society or chief fundraiser, whatever. Something to single him out from the rest. In short, WASPy and elitist.
So the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant background still counts, despite all the talk about diversity. I see. Is there something like the McKinsey woman?
Sure. The same, just female. The firm does not encourage individualism. Instead, image, consciousness, and standardization are the norm. Take their particular terminology, the way they speak, for example. Rather than customers, McKinsey has clients. Employees are associates, ex-employees, alumni. And instead of negotiating, McKinsey men and women make arrangements.
Is it true that this image consciousness also extends to how they behave in their free time, weekends, holidays, etc.?
I would say yes. They are encouraged to spend time together, spouses and children included. They are expected to be active in their respective communities, get involved in sports, clubs, charities, etc., make contacts, network. They are never off duty, as it were. In contrast to this strong presence, they rarely talk about their work. They might agree to comment on business-related topics, but interviews about the firm itself are taboo.
Would you say that this conformity and secrecy also impacts on the way they do business?
Yes. It's part of their corporate identity that they never divulge their customers' names. They neither take credit for successes nor do they take blame for failures. This is part of the confidentiality agreement with their customers. In every respect, they like to operate below the public radar. Unusual in our world of social media.
But am I right in saying that although they do no marketing whatsoever, and despite growing competition from other consultancy companies, they are still extremely successful?
Correct. At the moment, they have over 100 offices in 60 different countries, and their prestige is unparalleled in some countries, like China, for example. Bringing McKinsey is a status symbol, the corporate equivalent of buying a Louis Vuitton bag, prohibitively expensive, exclusive, and presumably the best.
Well, we'll take your word for it. Thank you so much for granting us this interview.
You're welcome.